no shortages of past NASCAR champions still active in the sport, and we'll take a glimpse at who outkicked their coverage in 2025. All that coming up on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Thanks so much for joining us. PRN here at the Charlotte Motor Speedway in our cozy little studio. Myself and Alexis Erickson, and joining us via remote from Fort Worth, as usual, Brad Gilley. Brad was not with us on the last show because he was out in Phoenix helping celebrate a new champion for NASCAR's 3 Premier Series. Brad, good to see you. How was your time in the Valley of the Sun?
It was pretty awesome, actually. And I'll tell you what, I have to give Phoenix Raceway and the entire staff there a huge amount of credit. They do such an amazing job hosting an event. And I know they won't have the championship next year, but they're going to be close to the end of the season again, which does make sense considering where we are getting into the fall months and everything. But Phoenix, to me, Phoenix experience is so different than what you might see on television. It is just, it feels like there's something going on all the time, and whether you're watching the action on the track or it's off the track, I'm a fan. I truly am of what they do out there.
So what was your experience getting to cover that final race? I mean, you were working pit road for the Motor Racing Network, and that was the first time you've been able to cover a championship race, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how was that experience for you, just the entire weekend and getting to be a part of the broadcast team for the championship finale?
It was great. The MRN folks are awesome. A lot of fun to work with them and be a part of their team, and a lot of great folks in all of that. As far as like covering it, the biggest difference is, you know, we go into a typical race weekend, say we're at Charlotte Motor Speedway or Texas and Bristol, and, you know, you're looking at all the who's good that weekend, and, you know, maybe here are the 15 or 20 drivers that could make something happen today. For those championship races, you're looking at 4 drivers. I mean, for the most part, that's really all you're looking at. Or if it was Xfinity, you might have been looking at 6 because you had a difference between the owner and driver's championship, or the 5 in the truck series with Lane Riggs going for the owner's title. But outside of that, I found myself working on pit road being a little bit different than what I would normally do in that, wait a second, why am I even paying attention or listening to this team? I get that they might be running 8th right now, but I got Chase Briscoe to cover. He's a championship contender. And it almost, I don't want to say reduces it down to that, but focuses on that. I think that's probably the bigger difference.
To your point, Alexis, I'll start with you. Is anyone ever going to remember who actually won the final race of 2025?
Well, I remember, as we sit here currently, only a week removed, but ask me again maybe, Daytona week next year and see if I remember. As you were talking there, Brad, I was thinking, well, yeah, it was pretty much just the 4 championship drivers and Ryan Blaney, I think, that you had to really pay attention to in Phoenix. And so, yeah, you're right. I mean, the same thing happened a couple years prior to that. And was it Ross Chastain that won the final race
when
Ryan Blaney actually won the championship? So, it's clearly a hyper focus on those 4 championship drivers, and rightfully so. I mean, they raced all season to get down to this point to see who's going to come out on top. But yeah, it does make probably, I would assume, covering pit road maybe a little, I don't want to say easier, but you know who the biggest focus is.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Chase Briscoe, he had so many things going on. He was the lowest qualifier among the championship contenders. And I had Briscoe, Chris Wilner had Kyle Larson, and then Steve Post had William Byron and Denny Hamlin. It's just the way pit road divided perfectly. But you look at Briscoe's day, and he has a tire issue, comes back, drives to the front. I mean, truthfully, in any other day, just covering Chase Briscoe would have been a big thing. But I'll be honest with you, in any other day, at the point that Chase Briscoe had that first tire issue, I might have kind of lost interest and focused on someone else, but it was just covering him all day and seeing him move up and down throughout the field. And that part of it was kind of fun because You know how you see sometimes, and it's happened in our sport, you know, where a reporter goes embedded, if you will, with another team. And I wouldn't say it went that deep with me. It wasn't like I was looking over James Small's shoulder the whole time, but just hyper-focusing on that one team because they're running for the championship. That was a big deal, and it was actually kind of fun to cover that way.
So this year, the actual, it's not a banquet anymore. It's an award ceremony.
Celebration.
Yeah, but it's not a big, elaborate formal meal, and it's a little more relaxed, and the number of people participating in it is down because they want to move it along, and it's only a day and a half after you actually decide the cup championship. So Brad, personal question here, I didn't prep you for this. Did you go dark suit or full tux?
Oh, I went full tux.
Okay.
I went full tux. So the first year they had the award ceremony in Nashville, if you remember, Doug, this is just our history. And this was 2019. This was pre-COVID or 18. And I wore a tux, and I think I was like one of six people. And it seemed like everything was more casual. So then for the next few award ceremonies that we had, I wore a suit. And I saw more and more people going black tie. So I finally bought a new tux because the one I had was pretty old. But ultimately, I feel you can't go wrong. Now, walking around the room, I wouldn't even say it was 50-50. I would say maybe it was 60-40. More people dressed up, looking very nice in evening attire, but just not a tuxedo, versus the fewer people that were dressed up in a tuxedo. But I figured no apologies going black tie for this.
And coming along with the award ceremony day, you get to speak to all four of the championship contenders who ran, you know, prior to that award ceremony for the championship. What was Denny Hamlin's demeanor like that day? Did you get to talk to him?
He was a little less morose than he was when he got out of the car. Or, I don't know, I would say getting out of the car shocked, you know, because I did have the opportunity to be the one who was there for all of that. He was without words on Sunday. Coming back on Tuesday, he was still without words. He was still, I don't want to say depressed. I'm trying to think of a better word, but I don't know that there is one. And his comments that have been written about in social media and all of that, you know, about I'm not ready to get back into a car yet. But he also said, look, you know, here's a typical off season as well. Says, I think it's going to take me longer before I get that itch again. Normally that happens around the holidays. But right now I'm still reeling in what happened. And, you know, one thing he said, and he was right, he said, I did everything you're supposed to do in that race. I did everything you're supposed to do to win a championship. We won the pole. We had the fastest car. We led the most laps. We were there at the end. Did everything I needed to do, and it came up short. So that was a big gut punch for him.
I'm sure it was. You know, I saw a post that I think Chase Briscoe put out on the day of the media availability before the banquet. And it was kind of funny, though, because it was Chase Briscoe sitting in a chair all by himself and then Denny Hamlin next to him with a crowd of people and microphones in his face. And he said, this is what happens when you have your media availability with Denny Hamlin. Kind of, you know, a tongue-in-cheek tweet about, you know, him just not being as popular that day because everybody wanted to talk to Denny. Did it feel that way with the champion too, Kyle Larson? Did it feel like, you know, he maybe wasn't getting as much as Denny Hamlin was getting?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that question because this is a great scene. Now, Denny showed up early. All right. So if all of this started at 9:30 that
Brad,
day.
Brad, describe the layout of what the room is like and how they're positioned in it before you.
Yeah, you're just in a room with a bunch of work tables, you know, just long tables, you know, sort of like, I don't know, banquet style, whatever. And that's where the media workroom is. On one end of the room, imagine it's a rectangled room. And on the long end of the room, they have four backdrops set up with chairs and microphones. And it's not like a podium style, like a press conference. It's the driver sitting in the chair and they're crowded by media, either standing there with just microphones or tape recorders or with cameras. So they're hovering the driver and they all stand around the driver and talk to them while the driver sits there and answers the questions. So Denny showed up early. They had the schedule scattered to where the championship four contender, Shane Van Gisbergen, shows up for Cup as well as the rookie of the year, where they're all going to be scattered. Well, Denny just shows up early. He's actually the first one there. He's supposed to be the third one there. And so he is at the back of the room, not quite center, because two of the podium or two of the chairs were sort of centered in the back of the room. So Denny's in one of them. Kyle Larson walks up, and I'm listening to Denny, and I look over at Kyle. I'm listening to Denny. I look over at Kyle. No one's talking to him. So I'm just like, you know what? I'll go back and listen to the rest of Denny's stuff. I think I talked to Kyle Larson by myself for like 5 or 8 minutes or so before anyone else even walked up, because it was literally all about what was happening with Denny in that moment.
I figured that's probably what happened. Yeah.
It is the transformation of public opinion around Denny Hamlin is nothing short of miraculous.
It is, but I will say we cut a clip from last week's show where Kyle Petty and myself were both talking about how we felt like no matter if you were a fan of Denny Hamlin's or you weren't, you had to have empathy for what happened to him in that moment. And we got a lot of comments on that post with people saying, oh, well, you know, he should have done this. He shouldn't have taken two tires. Blah, 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 blah. So it felt like in the moment there was more people that were on Denny Hamlin's side. But, you know, I don't know, comments we got on social media, it wasn't as one-sided as we thought it was.
You're never going to make everybody happy. Past champion decides he'll show back up again next year. And what was the most entertaining race of the year? We'll tackle all that right here on Fast Talk.
So you're a Toyota Cup driver and you just made it to the playoffs. Now all you have to do is win. Easy. Just turn left, right? That and start strong, take off, reach 200 miles per hour, maintain a good position, no big deal, lap again, time your pit stops, steer clear of accidents, talk to your crew chief like your best friend, and most importantly, turn left. Easy, right? You in? Get up to speed at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
I'm Kyle Busch, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Logano back across the stripe. Now Zane Smith putting on some pressure.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars. Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon at turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Ty Gibbs. Which way is he going to go?
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Looks like Austin Cindric is involved. Denny Hamlin. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start-finish line.
Chase Elliott has battled at the front all night long. He's won the war. Chase Elliott has just punched his ticket to the playoffs.
Awesome job, man. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
This is PRN.
Fast Talk, Doug Rice and Alexis Erickson, plus Brad Gilley, coming to you from the Lone Star State. And guys, we got an announcement over the weekend that Jimmy Johnson, he's not gone yet. He has competed, by the way, in 700 Cup Series races, and even 700. A lot of people thought, okay, he was just going to race two last year to get to 700 and hang it up. Mm-mm. He will be racing at Coronado Naval Station in California when they go to race the street course in San Diego. He's from that part of the world. He wants to race there, and I think he wants to experience the day and what will be the most, I think, the most hyped race of the year.
And this is, you know, this has been tabbed as being something to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the Navy. So there's a good chance, I mean, I really don't know, I don't make the schedules, that this is a one and done race on this naval base. And so, it's going to be what is most likely going to be an amazing event and one of a kind that's never happened before. So I understand him wanting to race in it and participate in it, because who knows if it'll happen again.
I look forward to it. And I understand that people say, oh, Jimmy should just hang up the helmet. You know, he's not doing his legacy any service. Bull. Jimmy Johnson won 7 championships and won 83 races, won all of NASCAR's major events. That doesn't go away. Nothing he does right now takes away from it. If he wants to go out there and run at Naval Base Coronado, awesome. He's earned the opportunity to do that. In fact, Jimmy Johnson can also write a new part of his legacy as a team owner to Legacy Motor Club, a team that did improve from 2024 to 2025. But I say, if Jimmy wants to get in a car and go race, have at it. We don't need to have expectations that he's going to be running for the win at the end of it. He did finish top 3 in the Daytona 500 last year, let's not forget. But I love it. I love the fact that we get to see him in a race car again.
7-time champion wants to do it.
Hasn't he earned it?
Knocked himself out.
Come on.
Where did I see him? Was it here at Charlotte?
It was Coca-Cola 600, I think, was his 700.
And I saw him also in Vegas. And
yeah.
He looks great. I mean, yeah, he's got a little gray in the beard, but he looks like if he wants to hop in a car and go racing, have at it. Past champions in NASCAR, there are, according to my numbers here, 10 championships represented by past drivers, by drivers that are now still active and competing in NASCAR. Joey Logano has 3. Kyle Busch has 2. Now, Kyle Larson has 2 championships. Chase Elliott has 1. Brad Keselowski has 1. And Ryan Blaney has 1. I put an asterisk beside Jimmy Johnson's name because he's active, but yeah, not really. So, Brad, I'll start with you. Which one of these is most likely to add to that, and what's the biggest number you could see for championships from these drivers?
Ooh, I would say, well, then if you're going to ask the biggest number, I'm just going to have to say Joey Logano, because I think he could reach 5. He's not the first one that comes to mind when I say who could add to it, but I think Joey is such an analytical racer and buys into the system and the process and whatever the system is moving forward. They're going to find a way to maximize it at Team Penske, just like they are at Hendrick and Gibbs and Trackhouse and everywhere else. But I think Joey Logano becomes the most bought into that system and the most researched and studied. And also, he has a ton of talent. So, yes, I would say the ceiling right now is 5, and I think Logano can get there.
All right, Alexis?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. I think Logano can definitely get to 5. I think he just, you know, his work ethic and the amount of energy that he puts into every season and working the hard, you know, as hard as he can, and Team Penske for that matter. You know, when you said who can get another one, I think Ryan Blaney's the first one that came to my mind too, because
really?
He had a fantastic season this past season, and I expect him to have more fantastic seasons. I don't know if he could get, you know, to 5 like Logano. I mean, obviously Logano with already 3, he's steps leaps and bounds ahead of the other guys on the list. But I do see Ryan Blaney being a 2-time, possibly more time champion.
I may be a prisoner of the moment here. I can easily see Kyle Larson getting a 3rd or a 4th.
Sure.
Even though in some ways he wasn't that good this year. That's weird to say about the champion. He still
scored the most points.
He did, Brad. He still hasn't won a race since the early part of May.
It wasn't flashy. Yeah.
No.
Right?
It wasn't,
yeah.
Oh, look at all of these obscene numbers that he's putting up, but he got the job done. I don't see Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski adding to their titles. One for them is good. Kyle Busch has 2. I don't see them adding.
What about Chase Elliott?
I think Chase has got a shot. If he races a whole season, and Brad, I get your thoughts on this. If he races a whole season like he raced the last 3rd of 2025, I think Chase Elliott's got a shot.
I feel like the longer the sample size in the championship run in the playoffs, the more favorable it becomes to Chase Elliott. And their talent is in consistency. Yes, they can go up there and win races, but he's not had a season like he's had since his championship year in 2020. A handful of things have happened along the way, but I really feel like their strength is not going to be in winning one race for a title, but being the best over 4 or over 10. So depending on what the format is, I feel depends on how much it will favor Chase Elliott in a second championship.
But here's the caveat to that, Alexis. We don't know.
We don't.
As we are recording this show right here on November 10, 2025, we got no idea.
Yeah, and I don't know. We talked about this in the break. I don't know that we will know anytime soon either. I think this is probably an announcement that NASCAR will make, you know, a couple weeks maybe ahead of festivities getting started for the 2026 season. Now, that's just my opinion. I don't know. Yeah. They could surprise Hold us it. And announce it tomorrow. But I feel like it's going to probably be something that's late January, maybe.
Brad, I think they get more pop if they hold this after the holidays.
Absolutely. Let people spend the next 2.5 months talking about it. And before we go to Bowman Gray Stadium, you can't hold it too long because then people go, oh, well, the teams didn't have time to prepare for it. Yes, they do. Their preparation is going out there and trying to win races. The championship format is something that they can strategize throughout. I would rather see them hold it to Bowman Gray. Go all the way to the Clash next year before you make the announcement. I hope it's not announced just sometime midway through the offseason, you know, when we're talking about a lot of other things and NASCAR is not number one on the mind.
A big driver gets a new number for 2025. We'll chat about that. And who arrived this past year? We'll do it next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on goprn.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Fast Talk on PRN. The story broke here again a couple of days ago before we recorded this show that Shane Van Gisbergen, five-time winner from this past season, gets a new number heading into 2026. He moves on from the 88 to become the driver of the number 97 for Trackhouse, Alexis.
Yeah, they put out a pretty emotional and heartfelt video where they talked about what their numbers were going to be for all three of their drivers going into 2026. Justin Marks wrote a letter to Ross Chastain about how, you know, he's gotten a lot of first in Trackhouse history, so they're proud that he's going to be able to carry the number one on into next year. Then Dale Jr. wrote a letter to Connor Zilich about driving the 88, which is moving away from Shane to Connor. And, you know, obviously Dale Jr. famous in the 88 for so long. And then Shane's father wrote him a letter about the 97, which apparently was a number that his family had used quite a bit back in New Zealand. And Shane ran, you know, back home as well. And it has a lot of meaning to their family. And he actually teared up on the video, which is something I've, you know, that kind of emotion I have not personally yet seen from Shane. So that was a very good, heartfelt, emotional video that they put out about the numbers that their teams are going to have in 2026.
Brad, thoughts about the number swap?
I really like it. I think for Connor Zilich, he gets to continue what he started on the Xfinity side, you know, for Shane Van Gisbergen. He actually ran the 97 with the Xfinity car, and I think it's a really neat thing. If you're a Van Gisbergen fan, go get your Shane Van Gisbergen 88 merchandise, because not only is it on sale right now, more than likely, but then, you know, a couple of years from now, you can look like, look, I'm an original fan.
That's right. Yeah.
I like what Alexis said, though. We don't really see a lot of emotion. You know, he's a pretty easygoing, just, yeah, you know, kind of here to do my thing guy. And when you see that, I think it's really cool. And the other part of the video, too, is a lot of people probably don't realize, because most of what gets talked about is Shane Van Gisbergen is a three-time Australian Supercars champion, but all the rally stuff he's done, the sprint car racing he's done, you know, open wheel stuff, running in multiple different series, just how well-rounded he is as a driver. So I love the way they put that together and the piece that they did. And also, maybe there should be a little nod to the fact that when Trackhouse started, granted, they're still a relatively new team, but 99 was their original number with their original driver, Daniel Suarez, and that's being abandoned now. But I love that they were able to put this out and put it out early and start to have things in place, not only with car numbers, but also crew chief driver pairings and all of that.
If you haven't seen it, it's worth a watch. Please go to their social channels, and it's like 3 minutes and worth watching.
I want to give Trackhouse an up. They break barriers like
they
this.
Do.
Their social media game is very strong. They were the first team in the Cup garage that the back of their hauler is actually a video board.
Yeah.
With advertising for their sponsors and race highlights running on it. So when you go to the back of their truck, you're getting another level of entertainment and information. Nobody else was doing that. And I think this lays right at the feet of Justin Marks.
Yes, Justin Marks considers himself a disruptor of the status quo. And he's done that considerably, I think, in his tenure, you know, as the head of Trackhouse and what they've been able to do there, from their social media to all kinds of different advertising campaigns that they've had with, you know, all of their different partners. But he credits himself as kind of like wanting to shake up what is the status quo in the business side of NASCAR. And I think he's done that pretty well.
Well, in real life, he climbs mountains. So
right.
Great point.
Figuratively and literally.
Yeah, that's true. So, props to you. We're going to talk about who jumped off the page, maybe who made a name for themselves in 2025. We'll do that next.
This is a consumer warning for men in our audience looking to buy generic versions of the blue or yellow pills online. Be very careful. Many of these products may be completely ineffective. Our research team has found versions of these blue and yellow pills for the remarkable price of about a dollar a pill. They have a success rate as high as 87% to help men with erection issues. And remember, with a price as low as a dollar, you'll get more bang for your buck. Call now and we can confidentially ship your order with no questions asked. Call now to learn how to get our versions of the blue or yellow pills for about a dollar a pill. Call now and ask for express shipping to get your package in days. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. That's 800-245-4816. Call Pharmacy Shop now.
This is Christopher Bell, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. Join me each week for the True Reporters Roundtable, known as the Pit Reporters.
This is not what we're used to and accustomed to seeing. That, I think, with a backdrop, is why a lot of fans are a bit sour on Denny.
He still wants to play that role that now Denny has taken on, but him and the A-car haven't had the same success. You can't be the villain, and it doesn't really work as well if you're not winning. And Denny Hamlin is doing just that.
Check us out each week on the Performance Racing Network.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 Americans are sick of the divisions in our country? But there's one small step we can take to remember that we're still connected. All over America, strangers with different political views are coming together to talk about their lives, not politics, and discovering they actually have a lot in common. Because even if we don't see eye to eye, we can still talk heart to heart. So let's talk for a change. Learn more at takeonesmallstep.org.
It's kind of amazing that as soon as the season ends, you start making your list and you're going back and highlighting events and who jumped off the page for good and for bad reasons. So, Brad Gilley, we'll start with you. Who arrived in 2025?
If you're starting with me, I will definitely take the low-hanging fruit in this, and that would be Chase Briscoe. His move over to Joe Gibbs Racing. First third of the season, it was sort of the getting to know you time. And boy, did they jump in a big way, especially when he got that first trip to victory lane at Pocono Raceway. The consistency was amazing. The qualifying had been there most of the season. 7 pole starting spots doesn't even tell the story of their year because you had almost an equal number of front row starting spots also with the second place starts that he had. But to be able to make the championship four, to be able to become what we considered a top contender and elite team week in and week out over the course of the year, that was just incredible. And there is no question in my mind that all of us look at Chase Briscoe differently today than what we looked at him back in February when he won the pole for the Daytona 500.
1,000%. I mean, and that was definitely the low-hanging fruit, but I don't know how you couldn't start it off and go with him because, he's definitely the one to talk about. I looked at a few things. I know I have who you're going to mention, mm-hmm. Doug, on my list, so I will skip that. I'm going to go with Bubba Wallace. I feel like even though Bubba, he finished 11th overall, he made the playoffs. He had one win, which was a fantastic win to Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I feel like this season, just like looking at it as a whole, he was in the conversation more this season than he has been in seasons prior. And for good reason, for running well, for leading laps, for being up front, for putting himself in position to have good finishes. Obviously that win at Indy was huge. It's a crown jewel in our sport and propelled him into the playoffs. So I think overall, it wasn't super flashy. It wasn't Chase Briscoe-esque, but I do think Bubba Wallace, had a better season this season than he's had for many seasons before and is showing us that he's starting to build, on that portfolio that he has.
I like your Bubba Wallace call. Obviously, you got to agree with where Brad went there with Chase Briscoe. No brainer. Good picks. Maybe in the honorable mention category, and I feel like he is being underserved. We talked about Shane Van Gisbergen a moment ago. You won 5 NASCAR Cup Series races. Yes, I know they were all road course races. And most of those, you didn't just win. You kicked everybody into the next day. I think, where is it? Mexico City? He won by like 16 seconds.
Yeah.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, it is so hard to win in the NASCAR Cup Series. Like, very, very difficult. So anyone, regardless of how they did it, or if it's only on one type of track, multiple types of track, 5 wins is a huge deal, especially for a quote-unquote rookie. I mean, he won rookie of the year. I mean, yes, I 1,000% agree. And you could say there's an asterisk next to it because it was only road courses, but I say to that.
Hey, look, when we were going to super speedways and Dale Jr. was racing, we celebrated that.
Right.
And that's where he was the strongest. So how is it different for Shane Van Gisbergen, and he would have been my pick had you not come to me first, Doug. You know, the first half of the year, two finishes in the teens on ovals. The second half, he had five. A top 10 finish at Kansas to boot, and he had another 11th place finish. So forget what he did on road courses. Look at what a rookie driver did on all tracks as the season progressed, and he did nothing but get better all year long.
I think the competition needs to be worried because it's obvious that he is starting to figure out the ovals. I don't know if he's going to win on an oval next year. I would not be shocked.
But he doesn't need to win. Look, if he can get five road course wins and figure out how to have consistently good finishes, not even wins, just consistently good finishes on ovals, then yeah, he's a humongous threat.
But we don't know how they're going to do it yet, so we'll temper that. But I'm like you, Alexis.
Either way, Brad,
if he goes out and wins five again, because that's all there is.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Right, but I don't want to give him five road course wins because they have a teammate there who's going to help make that team better too, and he's also pretty good on road courses
when
it comes to Connor Zilich. So, you know, we might actually have that 16-second lead might be between two cars and not one next year.
Are they going to own and box everybody out of the road courses, meaning Trackhouse?
It would be interesting to see them, you know, have their own little like interior rivalry between the two of them when it comes to road courses, because they are, you know, for lack of a better term, they are considered the best on road courses right now. And running for the same team, the same equipment. I mean, they got to be door to door, I think, for most of it.
Brad, I found it interesting that we went to all these road courses and people, especially the first two or three, would say, well, Tyler Reddick could do this and somebody else could do that. And nobody did anything except Shane Van Gisbergen.
Well, the other narrative was, and I fell into this, okay, we're going to Sonoma, all right? Cup drivers have been going to Sonoma since 1989. This is our road course. What made Van Gisbergen so good in the first Chicago street race? Well, he had street course experience, and we were all there for the first time. Mexico City, we're all there for the first time. You know, we go to Sonoma. Oh, no, he's not going to have as big an advantage at Sonoma. I think that might have been his second most dominant win of the year. And then, you know, he wins Watkins Glen. He wins the Roval. He wins them all. And outside of COTA, but that is a race that he had an opportunity to win. And the way strategy and things played out at the end, it became Christopher Bell's trip to victory lane. But he could have easily won all six of them.
Well, at Sonoma, he pitted and still wound up winning the stage.
Right. Yeah. You can't win all these stages and still win road races. Hold my beer. That's what Van Gisbergen. Or hold my Red Bull, I guess, for his case.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it was an interesting story, and I know people will take issue. I feel like it's been underserved and under-celebrated. You won five races. Yes, they were all left and right turns, but you still went out and beat supposedly all the best stock car drivers in the world. Over and over again.
And I'll repeat it.
If you've won all short track races.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't qualify that. If you've won all speedway events, we don't qualify that. Martin Truex Jr. won a championship on mile and a half tracks. We don't qualify that. Shane Van Gisbergen is a five-time winner this year alone on the NASCAR Cup Series schedule, period. No other qualifier.
I agree, and I'll stand on that. That's a hill I'm willing to plant a flag on. You know, we need to celebrate that. Now, to be a championship threat, it's going to have to expand that, but there's nothing to say you can't. By the way, our show is brought to you by Toyota. We appreciate those folks so much. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. Well, for all of those that played above the grade, there were some that never really showed up. We'll talk about those. Isn't it so much more fun? We'll do that next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm PRN's Alexis Eric. Want to listen to PRN anywhere you go? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to live race broadcasts and have on-demand access to your favorite shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, Garage Pass, and PRN's At the Track. Download today to make sure you don't miss any of the action. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available on Apple App Store and Google Play. Find more information at goprn.com.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us. Operation Homefront, they've really been a blessing.
If you ascribe to physics, to every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Who said that? Is that Isaac Newton?
Yeah.
I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we'll go with that anyway, okay? So for everybody that was successful and maybe surprised us a little bit, the Shane Van Gisbergens, Bubba Wallace's, Chase Briscoe, there were others that went in the opposite direction and did not outkick their coverage. So, Alexis, let's start with you. Who you got on that list?
Well, can I just do an entire team?
Yes, you can.
I know where you're going.
It's your ball. You can play with it however you want.
Okay, good. And this does not bring me any pleasure, certainly, to talk this way, but RFK had a season that I think they probably would like to soon forget. You know, they were one that I think was circled on a lot of people's charts starting out this season about, you know, potentially having a breakout year. Both Brad Keselowski and Chris Buescher the previous year had a win each. I think Chris Buescher in 2023, maybe, I think he had like three wins that season. So, you know, they were ones that we were hoping to see in victory lane, and we didn't see it at all. And so for RFK to not only have zero wins on the season, but also not make the playoffs, I think this is a season that they're going to look at and say, okay, we certainly did not perform in the way we wanted to perform.
So, Brad Gilley, how surprised were you by the lack of performance from RFK?
I was very surprised. Brad Keselowski, let's go back and remember when we started the tournament, the bracket challenge or whatever, it was like, okay, can Brad Keselowski even be a part of it? Because you have to be in the top 32 of the standings. I mean, that's how bad things were for that team. He ended up racing his way up to 20th. I was fully surprised. One caveat to that, I was completely thrilled, and he could have easily made our list in the last segment, how well Ryan Preece did and how improved he was. But the overall RFK, you have to look at it, and being winless on the season, they came really close right there coming to the last checkered flag of the year. But being winless on the season was rough. But another one for me, Ty Gibbs. I mean, this, you go back and look at his career now, and he got a new crew chief this year in Tyler Allen, a guy who had won 8 races the year before in Xfinity. And I would say there were a couple of highlights for Ty Gibbs this year, but not many. I feel like actually he regressed, and I don't know that any of us three went into the season saying, oh, a Ty Gibbs win is imminent this year, like maybe we did last year. And I don't know that there's anything that's going to indicate to me going into 2026 that a win is imminent for Ty Gibbs. They have not gotten any better.
And what makes that stand out is that everybody else there wins. The other three drivers won. They all made the playoffs. Not only did you not win, You were not in the playoff picture. And
yeah,
that means you don't get talked about except in the negative. I will say this. I feel like Ty has cleaned up his act a little bit. We're not throwing shade on him as much as we used to, but we'll see that. I'm like Brad. He's not in my preseason favorites for next year. Who else, Alexis?
Well, I mean, when you think about it, I was just gonna say for Ty Gibbs too. I mean, you think about the fact that he's the team that he's running for, is a superior team when it comes to most of everybody else in the Cup Series, and for him to be the lone guy there that doesn't have a win makes it stand out even more. I have Tyler Reddick on my list.
Yeah,
I mean, Tyler Reddick is somebody who. I expected at the beginning of this year to have a multiple win season. I expected him, to surprise us in certain ways and have more wins than he had had previously. I expected him to do well, go further into the playoffs, and he just didn't deliver. And I'm not exactly sure what that was, because we talked about on the flip side of that, Bubba Wallace having a year where I felt like he was way more consistent than he had ever been. So it felt like they kind of swapped places a little bit at 23-11 between him and Bubba Wallace. And then, you know, I also have Riley Herbst on here, but who a lot of times didn't even know he was on the racetrack. So
yeah,
a zero factor this year. I'm not going to pick on the ones that I didn't have any thoughts that they were going to be really good to begin with. Front Row Motorsports, I didn't expect anything out of them. We didn't get anything.
I feel like we got less.
Yeah, I do too, Brad. You used the word regressed a moment ago. I feel like they regressed. And Spire, all the talk around Spire and how they've got money and they've got an alliance with Hendrick. And that's, you know, it's like people used to talk about Brazil's going to take over the world. Well, they haven't.
I mean, Hostivar had a few flashes of speed in certain situations, but just as many flashes of, oh my gosh, did he really just do that?
Yeah, even more disappointments.
You know? Right, exactly. So, you know, that wasn't a very good balance either.
And I will throw into the mix, because I expected more Kyle Busch. They're non-factor. No
when
playoff.
When you led with no expectations, I didn't think you were going to mention Kyle Busch.
No, I had expectations.
It's hard not to with a two-time champion.
I just, you know, and here again, you soften your look at people when they're at this stage of their career.
Yeah.
But Kyle Busch pretty much wasn't there this year. Led a handful of laps, had five top fives. That's not much. Made almost no impact, no playoffs, no wins. I was sitting in the stands for the start of the Roval this year at Charlotte. I went out and had some friends here, and they were sitting right at turn one, which is the hard left-hand turn that takes you inside the road course at Charlotte. Green flag waves. There's people behind us that are Kyle Busch fans. Hats, T-shirts, koozies, everything. He doesn't even make it to them before he spun around and out of contention, goes to the garage, comes back eight laps down. And I felt like that was emblematic of that season. I would like to see Kyle Busch come back and be a factor, because that would also mean that one of your legacy teams in RCR is a factor.
Yeah.
But I don't have big expectations. Am I wrong, Brad?
No, you're not. And, you know, Randall Burnett, he's moving over to Trackhouse. Kyle Busch is now former crew chief. And yeah, you know, maybe Jesse Love winning an Xfinity championship is going to be a nice shot in the arm for Richard Childress Racing and bring some motivation into that building. But as a whole, Kyle Busch had one day where I felt like he was competitive for a win, and that was Circuit of the Americas. Just like, with no disrespect, Austin Dillon had one day where he was competitive for a win, and he did it at Richmond Raceway. Outside of that, I don't know that we really looked at Richard Childress Racing on any other track, on any other type of track, and said, man, you know, boy, they really had it today. They might have had a couple of top 10 highlights and so on and so forth, but Kyle Busch led 88 total laps on the season. Total. I mean, that's almost unheard of for him, and I would love to see them be able to turn it around, because it's a lot of fun when Kyle Busch is in a winning way.
But it's going to take a big leap forward to get past nearly an 18th place average finish. What was the best race of the year or the most entertaining? We had some thoughts next.
Attention investors. This is a simple commercial on the investment value of gold. Gold continues to make new highs. In good markets and in bad markets, you need to have your portfolio balanced with gold. Learn about owning physical gold or getting a gold-backed IRA. Make this simple call right now.
800-308-4648. 800-308-4648. That's 800-308-4648.
Sponsored by Reagan Gold. We're offering a 100% risk-free gold guide. Gold continues to make new highs, and unlike stocks, gold has never been worth zero. You owe it to your nest egg and future to own some physical gold or set up a gold-backed IRA. Call right now for your free report.
800-308-4648. 800-308-4648. That's 800-308-4648.
Sponsored by Reagan Gold.
This is Carson Hocevar, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at echoparkspeedway.com.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Moving forward in Fast Talk, during the off-season, we will do what we have done the last couple of years, and the shows will feature extended interviews with prominent media folks. So we'll track down those folks and talk to them for 20, 30 minutes apiece and get their thoughts on what transpired in 2025, and maybe more importantly, what will be going down in 2026. So look forward to that. People have been very gracious in giving us their time. And so that's how we will format the shows moving forward. Alexis, the last category that we've got is what you found to be the most interesting or entertaining race from this past year. Where are you going?
Well, you know, when you sent me that text yesterday, I had to think about it because I have a very short memory. Unfortunately for me. So I had to think about it. And the first one that popped into my head, and maybe not in some people's opinion, but the Coca-Cola 600, I thought this year was a very entertaining race. I thought that, you know, when you think about the fact that it started out looking like it was going to be an all Hendrick Motorsports party. You had Kyle Larson leading. Then he spins out from the lead. You have William Byron pretty much come and take the top spot and lead most of the rest of the race, basically, which, you know, the 600, the longest race, we have four stages. And he dominated pretty much the entire race until about seven laps to go when Ross Chastain in his number one track house Chevy was like, I'm coming, took the lead and never looked back. You and I got the pleasure of, as we always do at the races here at Charlotte Motor Speedway, interviewing the winner afterwards. And Ross, you know, he couldn't have been nicer. Obviously, it was a huge win for him. Crown jewel, all of those things. And so that's one, you know, I don't know if I would say it was the most entertaining race of the year. I thought it was entertaining. I don't know if you can qualify it as the most, but it's one that I look back on very fondly.
Brad Gillick, what are your thoughts on this?
Man, this is so hard because I'll tell you all 36 of them. But one of the bigger standouts for me is the first race at Echo Park Speedway this year. 50 different lead changes. You had Christopher Bell going into victory lane. You had all kinds of things along the way that it was so unpredictable. And I can remember leaving there and leaving Echo Park Speedway with the feeling of, my gosh, it doesn't get much better than this. It kind of did when we went back, by the way, and Chase Elliott won. So I think that's what stands out to me more than anything. But, you know, the other Chase Elliott win really stood out to me. A really tight margin of victory when he won at Kansas Speedway. I thought that was great. I thought COTA was great. Texas, I mean, there were so many of them. But if you had to tell me to pick one, I'm taking the first Echo Park Speedway race.
You know, I think Indy, too, with Bubba winning. I had mentioned that before. Yep. That was a huge, huge win. And I don't think anybody expected it either.
Mm-mm. No, that was not expected. You're right.
Well, let's face it. It was unexpected when, if anybody outside of Gibbs and Hendrick
right,
and Penske
sure.
won.
Great point.
Here again, not including Shane Van Gisbergen, because there weren't many other wins.
Yeah.
The rest of the teams had to pick up table scraps along the way. And we just talked about it. No wins for RFK. None for Spire. None for Front Row. Trackhouse got in there a little bit. 2311 got one.
Wood Brothers, I know you said they're satellite with Penske, but still, Wood Brothers, I mean, you think about how many races they've won over the past few years. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been many, so when they get one, it's a huge deal. And the way that Josh Berry won that race out in Las Vegas was a statement.
And shocked and got them into the playoffs early on in the year. So, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't discount that. That's a Wood Brothers win, and it goes down in the record books that way, even though they are tied at the hip to Team Penske. Let's do this to wrap it up.
One last thing.
All right, as Alexis likes to say, inside baseball, the team hates this. They just despise doing
I
one
do.
Last
one
thing.
One last thing?
Yeah.
I do.
Love it.
Well, Brad loves everything. You go first, though.
I do. Yeah, I do. All right, so I will go first because we have some exciting things happening at Speedways. Just this past weekend, Charlotte Motor Speedway hosted the World Finals with Dirt Late Models and the World of Outlaws and all of that. Texas Motor Speedway had Sprint Car Modified and Late Model Racing as well, which was just an amazing, awesome weekend. But I'm talking about Speedways and events that they still have coming up. And I know for a fact, you look at Texas, they have their Gift of Lights, Charlotte, the Speedway and Lights, Bristol, New Hampshire, Atlanta, and Circuit of the Americas, a lot of different racetracks throughout the country have these amazing holiday light displays. For Texas, which is my home track, that starts on Thanksgiving Day, November 27th. Also happens to be my dad's 80th birthday. But it is a two-mile drive throughout the Speedway property, over 3 million lights and holiday displays and all of those things. And, you know, I can remember during COVID, being at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and it was like literally the biggest one they had ever had. People couldn't get out of their houses and had a great time. Go rekindle that excitement, that enjoyment. You can do it starting literally Thanksgiving Day. Check out your nearest Speedway, or if you're going to visit someone who lives near a Speedway, find out what they're doing during the holidays. Chances are it's going to be something really, really cool. And what a great excuse to go out to a racetrack and enjoy something with the family that is very, very special.
You know, I'm going to piggyback off of that a little bit because, and I'm sure this the same is true for Texas and for Bristol and for all of our Speedways that are doing light displays. But I want to give a shout out to the ops department here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Look, as soon as the checkered flag falls on the Roval race, they're putting up Christmas lights to have the Christmas display ready in time for when it starts during the holiday season here in Charlotte. And again, I'm sure the same is true. They're working feverishly at every other Speedway Motorsports track. And the amount of work that goes into putting these displays up and getting them ready for families to come through and enjoy is immense. And so as Brad was talking, I was like, I want to give my moment to the operations teams and for everybody that has a hand in making those Gift of Lights and Speedway Christmas and all of those things happen, because they are fun for the family, but they're also a lot of work.
For my one last thing, I'm going to piggyback on what both of you said, except I'm going to internalize this. We're recording this show on November 10th. When I leave the studio today, I will be in the backyard of the Rice House starting to put up Christmas
putting
decorations.
Up your own Gift of Lights.
ours are up, by the way.
Yeah,
we
same.
Cannot turn them on until Thanksgiving.
No, I
That's
won't
the
turn
rule.
Them on. Yeah, I'll give Thanksgiving its due, but they're going to go up, and we put out enough lights now that there are people that come by our house routinely just to see our displays.
That's so cool.
And will you dress as Santa?
I will not dress as Santa. No, I don't like playing dress up, even if it's Santa.
Why not? on. Get yourself a white beard.
I've got the girth for it now, but I'm not going to do that. But the Christmas light display will start at the Rice House in about 2 hours from right now, as we
love it.
I love
it. Love it.
I'm ready to go. It makes us happy. So there.
If it brings you joy, do it.
Do it. All right. For Alexis Erickson, Brad Gilley, Kent Bernhard, David Stiles, I'm Doug Rice. We'll be back next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.